Well, let's talk first about the concert that's coming up on the 23rd at Trinity Baptist Church. And Sondheim's Organ Symphony is on the program. And I understand, this is going to be a showcase for the not only the organ as an instrument, but the organ specifically at Trinity. Did it undergo a restoration?
Yes, and one of the things that, if you're not a member of the congregation, you're not always aware of these sort of things. We did a concert at Trinity Baptist, I think, 2 years ago, the first of our concerts that was dedicated entirely to the performance of music by one composer. In that case, the composer was Alfred Reed. One of the aspects of the Heart of Texas Concert Band, because we're in residence at San Antonio College, is that twice a year we have to move away. The only place that's big enough for us to rehearse on campus is on the stage of McAllister Auditorium. But because it's a multi-use facility there twice, whenever they have the major drama production going on, that we have to leave because they have to build the set. The set has to be nailed down. So last spring, whenever the set was in place, which was Verona for Romeo and Juliet, we had to find a different place to rehearse for a couple of weeks. And right now they're in the final stages of getting ready for the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee is the musical they're doing. And for the last couple of rehearsals, we could see over in the corner of the stage, we could see that the set was going up. And, that was my clue. It's time for us to move on. Pretty soon we're not going to be able to be here. But this is the time whenever we know they're doing the major musical. So I contacted Don Wisdom back in the summer saying, look, we're looking for a place to do a concert in November, and we would like to come out to Trinity again. And he said, well, let me take you in and show you. And at that time, the sanctuary was still in the process of being torn apart to be put back together. And he explained to me that they were doing something like a $4.5 million total renovation of the entire sanctuary area, and that a part of that, about $1.5 million of that money, was to go into the organ. And what they had decided that they were going to do is they were going to keep all of the old pipes and then add a whole bunch of new pipes, and then there was to be a brand new console which would control the whole thing. So it's a situation where it's not, taking one organ out and putting a new one in, but taking out the controlling mechanism, which is the console, and then adding a whole bunch of new bells and whistles to the organ that they've got and putting it all together. And he said, but by the time that you guys are going to be here in November, this will all be done. And then the wheel started turning. Okay, so what could we consider programming at that time that would bring this all together and make it a big celebration? And I know that Don has been, for the last several years, been trying to think of a way to bring people back to downtown and to specifically to Trinity Baptist Church and use that hall once the acoustics are a little bit better and once they've got a bigger performance platform where they can have bigger ensembles and use that as a magnet to draw people back downtown. Coker United Methodist Church has their own fine arts series. I think he envisions that Trinity could be doing the same sort of thing. So he said, well, once this is all done, the platform is going to be bigger than it was when you guys were here last time. And the carpet is all going to be gone, so the acoustics are going to be better. It's going to be easier for you to move around. And, the organ's going to be fantastic. But this was August when we were looking at it. And he said, but right now you can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Oh, and by the way, we have the most fabulous organist that you will ever meet. Her name is Cheryl Ceylon Lindquist. And as I have come to know her, I've come to understand what a fabulous musician and what a fabulous asset she is for the church, because not only does she serve as the organist at Trinity, but she's also the staff accompanist for the San Antonio Opera, which of course has just had its minor unveiling with Tobias Pictures and the fantastic Mr. Fox, but is really going to be doing the big gun whenever they open Salome in January. So right now, Cheryl is up to her eyeballs in learning the piano score to Salome, which I do not envy her doing that. But she said, yeah, I can add a performance with the band onto our schedule. So it's like, okay, then the granddaddy of all pieces that do something like this is Sanson's Organ Symphony. Now, there are other people who've written pieces that have organ and orchestra. Richard Strauss wrote this big pot boiler for the Vienna Philharmonic Hall, this festival preludium for organ and orchestra, which it's 12 minutes. It's a triple and double F and that sort of thing. And it's not that great a piece, but this is really a fantastic piece. But it's one of those pieces that you've got to be sure that the organ is really up to it, and you've got to make sure that the hall is available. So everything seemed to look great, and so we said, that's the piece we're going to do. And then we've built the first half of the program around this as well. We are opening the concert with William Walton's Crown Imperial, which And the original orchestral version of the piece, it's orchestra alone for the first three-fourths of it, and then when you get to the final apotheosis, sort of the last time through the trio, the big grandiose, then he adds the sonic resources of the pipe organ to it. You know, so just at the moment when the members of the orchestra are beginning to tire out, it's like, okay, here come the reinforcements. Here's the Marines, that's right. And now you can get to the end of it and be really strong. And so we're opening the program with the combined sound of the concert band plus the organ. And then I want the members of the band to have the chance to hear what the organ is capable of doing on its own. So Cheryl has chosen a toccata in D minor, which will be the solo piece that she will play all by herself. And then Cheryl will take a bow and leave, and we're going to finish the first half with a band setting of Bach's Passacaglia Fugue in C minor. And that's one of those pieces that you really have to look over your shoulders, because if the people who are of our generation and older can remember that the very first part of Walt Disney's Fantasia was the extended orchestration of the toccata and fugue in D minor that Leopold Stokowski has done. So there was a time when not only was the repertory of the symphony orchestra, but also the repertory of the concert band was full of these transcriptions, and usually they were highly romanticized of these great organ pieces because, you know, Stokowski was an organist himself. He knew there was this wonderful music out there, but there's a whole audience of people who perhaps don't go to churches that have a performance arts center or a series or something like this, so they're not aware of these kinds of pieces. And so he thought, I will do what I can to bring these pieces into the concert hall by doing these orchestrations of these pieces. And for a long period of time, they were a standard part of the orchestral repertory. That's kind of faded away now. And I think we're much the poorer for that, because these are wonderful pieces. And the particular transcription that we're doing of the Passacaglia Fugue in C minor really uses the band's resources well. And it's a little bit romantic. There are a bunch of tempo changes and modulations that we're not going to pay too much attention to, because I think that the historically informed performance means that Baroque organists didn't do that sort of thing sped up and slowed down. Now, we don't know for sure, but, you know, there are no markings on the original piece. It's all just notes, and then it's up to the organist to decide what sort of sonic resources he wants to use to, you know, voice it and use various stops to make the crescendos and the climaxes happen. And that's the same thing that a transcriber does when he writes this out for band.
You know, the Saint-Saëns piece is so beautiful because, as you said, the organ really gets to be with that Richard Strauss piece, it's big all the time, you know. But the Saint-Saëns has such a beautiful slow movements, adagio movements as well, where the organ gets to showcase its whispering sound.
And that's one of the things that the first time I played this piece, 25 years ago in my career as a bassoon player, one of the first things that I noticed is that there are places in the piece where Saint-Saëns uses the organ uses the orchestra to emulate an organ. The very first time we hear the melody, he, you know, uses the organ in a very restrained way, and then the violins and the violas in that beautiful, almost Tchaikovsky-like sound play in unison, and it's all on the G string, so it's very warm and it's very dark because it's in D flat, and you don't have any opportunity to use any open strings when you're in a key like that, and the organ provides the background. And then immediately Saint-Saëns repeats that exact music, and it's played all over again, and the organ drops out. But you look at what's going on in the orchestra, and Saint-Saëns divides the string section up into multiple registers, and you realize that now the strings of the orchestra are playing the organ background that we just heard, and then the melody which we just heard is now being performed by a really unusual combination in triple octaves. We have a solo clarinet at the top, a horn on in F, an octave lower, and an octave lower than that, we have a trombone. And that's really a strange thing to do. But if you stop and think about it, what has Saint-Saëns done? Well, what he's done is you play a melodic line using one finger on a particular manual of the organ, and you pull out two stops, so you get an octave higher and an octave lower. And that's what those three solo wind players are doing, is they're emulating an organ stop.
Yeah.
And Saint-Saëns has turned the orchestra into a gigantic organ. And then we go on to the next tune, and the organ comes back in as the background, and then we begin to beef up the sound. But to me, it's not only wonderful music, but it's wonderfully creative in terms of its use of the orchestra to emulate the pipe organ. And in this case, because it's a band transcription, and since we're wind instruments, we can even go one closer to trying to emulate the sound of the organ, which is in essence a gigantic wind instrument.
Sure, of course. So that, and that speaks again to like the difference between what people hear with, if they had been gone to Trinity Baptist and heard the organ there before, as to what they're going to hear now.
Right.
There's basically, when you said there's more pipes, there's more sounds available mm-hmm. to the organist to use now. And so there's not just a bigger sound, but more variety.
Right. Exactly. So even the folks who've been, you know, parishioners there worshiping at Trinity for years and years will hear sounds they've never heard before, not just because of the combination of the band and the organ, but just because the organ itself. This is part of the of an ongoing unveiling of the new organ with its new sonic possibilities that no one has ever heard.